We've reached a point in history when people still say, or actually just say about anything to anybody, online anyway. In person, we still maintain some manners. So in a time of such bluntness, it's surprising that there are still some reservations about talking about things that affect our bodies, like puberty. Our guest decided to get very honest in talking to girls about what will happen to them as they grow. In fact, she uses this very sentiment.
Girl.
That is the exact title of the first chapter in Nama Bloom's book, Hello Flow, The Guide, Period. Nama Bloom it started with a website called, you guessed it, helloflow.com. The book version is her first book, joining forces with writer Glynis McNichol. Nama Bloom, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Good to have you. So this is on the Dutton Children's Book imprint. Congratulations on a children's book on puberty. Talk about what started Hello Flow in the first place. What made you go out that way?
You know, I originally started it as a business to sell pads and tampons through the mail, just a simple subscription service. But my background has always been in marketing, and the thing I've always loved most about marketing is customer research and talking to people. So as I was building the business, I was really spending most of my time talking to women and girls about their experiences with menstruation. And I realized that the area of our bodies that we never really spend time talking about are these like moments of transition, puberty being the first major moment we have, and then of course childbirth and menopause. And you know, these are these really significant moments in a girl and woman's life, and we haven't been discussing them. And so in starting my business, I created a couple videos to promote the business, and those videos, Camp Gyno and First Moon Party, were focused on puberty, and they went viral. Like, they've been seen more than 50 million times on YouTube, and as a result, I not only, you know, sold subscriptions, but more importantly, and what shaped the business and the book, was that I was on the receiving end of literally thousands of emails from women and girls around the world, asking some incredibly rudimentary questions and some more complex. And I realized that there wasn't really a place for, you know, today's modern girl and woman to get that information in a format that she wanted it.
Which I find, I still can't quite understand that. I mean, you look at the covers of like Cosmopolitan when you're in the checkout line at the supermarket, and you know, 23 ways to give a man an orgasm, that kind of stuff. But the no discussion of getting into puberty.
Yeah, you know, I think that you know, Cosmopolitan is one thing, and you know, women's magazines are something, but they're not. Their goal is entertainment, not education. And you know, sometimes we have a view on education that it's a little bit boring or that it's a little yucky, quite honestly, especially when considering what happens to our bodies when we go through puberty or give birth. And so we just avoid those conversations. And you know, I feel like we're doing a really, you know, huge disservice to our children, boys and girls, by expecting them to go it alone.
So when you wanted this information in your own life, what was available? Do you remember the kinds of things that you could or could not lay your hands on when you were in?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My mother bought the book, which I believe still exists, called What's Happening to Me. And I remember looking at it, and it was, if I recall correctly, more of a board book, so more of like a children's book. And, you know, my parents were divorced when I was 12, and I lived with my mother and my sister. So while no one ever sat me down to give me the talk, because we were just three females living in a house, I was exposed to everything. So nothing was really a surprise. But I didn't have like a book that was felt to me like a owner's manual to my body until I went to college. And in one of my classes, I remember Human Sexuality 101, one of the books was Our Bodies, Ourselves, which, you know, I think was written in the 1960s. And I remember reading that book and devouring it, thinking, oh, my gosh, no one ever told me any of this stuff.
You promise, both in book and website, Hello Flow, no euphemisms, no avoidance, no blue dye. Blue dye?
Well, you know, for years and years, all of the commercials that speak about women's sanitary products try to show the absorbency using this, you know, thin blue liquid that for anyone who's ever menstruated knows is nothing like what menstruation is. And while I don't necessarily think commercials need to show us blood, it's just, you know, it's such a euphemism and it implies that what our bodies do is this like clean and sterile thing, which could not be further from the truth.
You know, finding good information about women's body parts is harder, in particular on the net, you say. What's the complication there?
Well, you know, there is a lot of pornography on the internet and a lot of misinformation on the internet. And there are not that many safe places to find out about your body, especially if you're a kid and you haven't quite figured out how to tell, you know, fact from fiction. And the average age, I think, in this country that kids are exposed to pornography online is 11, which is quite terrifying, if you ask me, because generally speaking, pornography does not depict reality and also doesn't show you necessarily a positive relationship between men and women. And, you know, for me, with my kids, I'd much rather they get their information either from me or from a book that I have vetted and feel comfortable with.
It's really interesting the way you set this up in the book. You say that, you know, this is what goes on the internet right now. Go ahead and Google pubic hair. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Yes. 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 Well, you know, I think that parents, you know, this book is much bolder and much more direct than the books of our time. And so I think some parents are uncomfortable. Wanted to get to the point.
All right, and we do indeed. We get to the point. The book is called The Guide Period under the Hello Flow banner. Nama Bloom, who created Hello Flow, the website, is also the author of the book. And there's plenty of illustrations in it as well, which don't do us a lot of good on radio. But we'll talk about the contents of the book and its very straightforward approach when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Nama Bloom, who noticed over the years in marketing and other jobs that there just wasn't a lot of straightforward information about what to do, not a lot of straightforward information about how your body changes when you enter puberty and you're a girl. And so she set out to create first a website, Hello Flow, and now a book to accompany that called Hello Flow, The Guide Period. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. And Nama, you say the trick to dealing with puberty is not to give yourself a timetable. What kind of a timetable?
Well, you know, I think girls are often, when they're approaching puberty, they're often very focused on when will I get my period or when will I get breasts or, you know, they're focused on the result, right? And that's totally natural. We are goal-oriented beings and, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, don't focus on the goal, focus on the process. And that's exactly what we're trying to teach girls in the book, because if you're focused on when will I get my period, you know, you're going to be comparing yourself to your friends. And there isn't a timeline for this. Every human being is different and every body is different. And part of the stress for girls comes from the comparison with their peers.
Which is the subject of one of the videos you referenced earlier called The First Moon Party, in which a mother realizes her daughter is lying about having her first period. And here's what results.
We have to celebrate.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Oh, it's family tradition. We're throwing you a first moon party.
What the hell is a first moon party?
No, it's one thing to lie to me, but to take that tone, it's on. Hi. Do you make vagina cakes? Hello?
You know, it gets a whole lot funnier in ways that I just can't describe on the radio. It's just a wonderful piece. You got some great actors for that thing, too, by the way.
Yes. Well, casting these things is always the critical component, in my view, because you can have a brilliant script, but, you know, you need the people to bring it to life, and we got very lucky.
So to the content of what's going on in First Moon Party, which ends up with a rather delightful ending. So it's not like the mother and the daughter stay at odds. But how confusing is that waiting period for any girl, just not knowing when it's going to happen?
You know, I think it really depends, one, on how confident the girl is and where what her relationship with her parents or the grown-ups in her life are like. You know, it that period when people don't talk about it becomes incredibly stressful. Like, it is, you know, after running the website and after getting emails from girls, it is the number one question. When will it come? When will it come? And, you know, it's because they're just comparing themselves against others, and they don't stop to think, like, it doesn't really matter. It's going to arrive when it arrives. And, you know, it's really about that relationship. And I really hope that, if nothing else, what my book does is get a conversation going between girls and their parents, because that's, you know, the key to keeping your child confident through this process.
The book is richly illustrated by Fleur Sciortino, or is it Sciortino?
You know what? I actually don't know. Dealt mostly online.
All right, but she's great stuff in here. But also some charts and graphs, as you'd expect. And there's a graph here about what happens when, showing budding breasts, growth of pubic hair, growth spurt begins, first period, growth of underarm hair, change in body shape, and adult breast size. And on this chart, it looks like a row of dominoes, but it's not, you say.
Yeah, well, you know, there is an order that these things typically take, but again, not every body is the same, and it doesn't necessarily, the order is, you know, for us to understand as guidance, this is what we think will happen, but it's not a guarantee. Some people's bodies just do things a little bit out of order, and, you know, you can take this as perhaps like an indication, but nothing with your body is set in stone. If there's one thing I've learned through this process, and also through, you know, my 45 years as a human being, like, you can't really count on anything to stay constant.
No, but in fact, there's some medical differences too now, aren't there? I mean, is it true that girls are having their periods a lot earlier?
Well, you know, that's a great question. What's true is that puberty is lasting longer, and that the signs of puberty happen earlier, but and there's been a lot of press about that. But the reality is, the average age of first period has only moved by a few months over the last 50 or so years. But the big difference is, like, when I was a child, the average length of time you were in puberty was much shorter. So it really did feel like dominoes going in a stack. Whereas now, you can have some girls developing breasts or starting to develop some body odor, and, you know, boys as well, as early as 8 or 9, and still not getting their first period until, you know, they're almost 13 or 12. So it's not actually the first period that's changed. It's the entrance into puberty.
Huh. Okay, so the whole process is longer now then. Nama Bloom is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is called Hello Flow, The Guide Period. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk very frankly about entering puberty from girlhood to womanhood and all the various changes that go on in the body. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. This was a bit of a surprise to me, that the smell is a good sign of puberty approaching. This is not a teen boys only thing, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, this is just a factor of the sweating and bacteria, but you can generally tell a child is entering puberty by the smell. And, you know, if you ask any fourth or fifth grade teacher, they will confirm this theory. Because, you know, little kids really don't develop body odor. It's just not a thing that they have. And it's really to do with when hormones develop and, you know, what's present in your body.
So, but how much variation is there in perhaps the onset of the smell to actual periods? It sounds like a lot of variation there in particular.
Yes, quite a bit. And, you know, that's why it's very hard to be in the prediction business when it comes to puberty, because everyone's body really is different. And some kids can start developing the symptoms, like I said, or the signs, rather, as early as 8 or, you know, right when they turn 9, but they still may not actually get their first period or complete puberty until, you know, like I was saying, 12 or 13. It could last as long as 4 years, which is another reason why the education is so critical, because, you know, you could be in this stage for a long time.
Truly. And, you know, it goes beyond some of the real physical things, too. I mean, the book certainly gets into the things that people will feel at this point in your life. And you give your own view on what it means to be a woman and not late in this first chapter. What's the reassurance you're trying to give to girls turning into women here?
Well, you know, first of all, one of the biggest mistakes I think we make as adults around children is when they start looking like grown-ups, we start treating them like grown-ups. And oftentimes, those two are not happening concurrently, right? So, you know, anyone can think of a kid that they know that happens to look older. If you don't know that child, you may treat them, you know, expect certain things from them, and they're really still a child in their brain and in their feelings, and they're not capable of making more complicated decisions that we may, like, put on them to make. So that's sort of one thing. And the other thing is just this question of womanhood, right? Like, once you get your period, it means you can become a mother, you know, if you engage in sexual intercourse. But those girls who are 13 years old, they're not thinking about sex necessarily. They're not thinking about becoming a mother, and they still think that they're kids, you know? And so I think part of it is the mental state, and then, you know, accompanied with the physical state.
And the physical state obviously gets us to chapter two, busting out or not. Even the chapter titles are a lot of fun in here. You do start with breasts, and the question you ask is,
we definitely you know, what we wanted to talk about is whether or not you're ever going to get breasts, right? Some women stay flat-chested through their lives, others get very large. And, you know, one of the things we did in the book in a few different sections was show timeline illustrations of what was, you know, in fashion over the years. And so you can see that, you know, just because you may be flat-chested and you wish that you were buxom like Kim Kardashian, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, Kate Moss was really the popular model, and she was, like, incredibly flat-chested. And everything is fashion, and so while you may or may not be in vogue in this particular moment, your time will come because everything's a cycle. And, you know, it was very important for us to demonstrate that with a few different elements, because we really want girls to understand it's so much of the pressure we feel as girls and as women for how our bodies look are all fashion. And you don't have to choose to participate in fashion. You can, you know, make the decisions about your body that make you feel happy and you feel comfortable, and those are the right decisions.
And those are some of the most fascinating parts of the book, the fashions through time, both first in breasts and then with pubic hair later on, which we'll get to in a bit. But the fact that things do change, and as you say, how you feel about your body will determine how everyone else feels about it.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the, you know, the book, I like to tell people, it's like a third part puberty book, you know, the nuts and bolts of your body, a third part memoir, and then a third part cultural and historical context of what it's like to be a woman or a girl in our current world. And, you know, that's what's so unique about the book, is that it's not just focused on the mechanics of puberty. And, you know, I do think the most important thing we need to teach our daughters and our sons is how to make choices that feel good for you and that, you know, keep your confidence intact.
Truly. The book is...
Period.
Yeah, the book is a very straightforward look at puberty for girls entering womanhood. It's called Hello Flow, the Guide, period. Hello Flow being the overall entity that this all springs from, the original HelloFlow.com website created by Nama Bloom, who is the author of the book, The Guide, period. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, moments of chagrin you might have felt growing up and not knowing things. I mean, so let's hear your story. I mean, how much information did you have growing up, and how much do you wish there was a book like this back then? Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There's lots of sidebars in the book from gynecologists and such, and I just wondered, Nama, how extensive an education you got about things like the hormones involved in development.
I mean, honestly, a lot of the education I got was in writing this book. So, you know, I'm 45, and I've made it through much of my life not knowing a lot of these things, specifically on brain development. All of that was, or most of that was very new information for me. And also, you know, as a parent now, I feel like such critical information and information that's going to help me be a better parent when my kids are dealing with adolescence and peer pressure and making, you know, some bad decisions, just having the understanding now of why that happens. So, a lot of the information was new to me, and a lot was validated. Like, I kind of had known what my body did at certain times of the month, but I didn't really understand what exactly and which hormones were fluctuating. And, in talking to an endocrinologist about this book, I learned a lot that I now understand about my body.
There's some interesting quotes in the book, too, from young women, some fairly wistful about things like, gee, I miss X about my old body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the young women that is in one of those testimonials, so we have testimonials throughout the book, and one of the young women, when I gave a talk on puberty not long ago after the book came out, and she showed up, and the parents were asking all sorts of questions. And one of the things that she said was that when she was going through puberty, she's now heading to college, but when she was going through puberty, she would see her parents' friends intermittently in those years, and they would always say, wow, look how big you've gotten. And in her head, she was thinking, oh my gosh, they're just noticing that I have breasts right now. And it was, you know, incredibly awkward for her and very uncomfortable. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, a lot of times these changes happen and we don't want them to happen. You know, like girls, especially girls, I heard from a lot of girls who were really competitive athletes and they didn't want their body to change. They understood that it was kind of a pain for the body to change. And, you know, they're comfortable doing what they're doing every day and playing sports. And, you know, this is one more thing now to think about.
Let's take a call. We have Helga in Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Nama Bloom, the author of Hello Flow, The Guide, period.
I had, the school was rather proud, I think, of giving a sex education. I was in the sixth grade in 1950s in Alabama, and I asked the question. I said, Mrs. Henderson, can I get pregnant by sitting on a boy's lap? And she said, well,
sorry, I didn't hear that. It was a little bit
So Mrs. Henderson, you asked if you could get pregnant by sitting on a girl's lap, and then what happened?
Boy's lap, sorry, yes.
Boy's lap. You know, that is...
And she said, depends. She said, depends. So I got no answer.
Wow, that's a pretty lousy answer. It depends. So yeah, I bet you've heard a few stories like this since you came out with Hello Flow in the first place, Nama.
I have. I have received emails from girls asking if they could get pregnant from a toilet seat. So, you know, in similar vein, and you would think years have passed and we got better at sex education, but it really depends on the family and which school your child is in. There's a lot of worry and a lot of confusion when we don't educate our kids.
So on to some of the other specific topics in the book, pubic hair, and apparently it's not just to keep dust out of our privates?
Yes. Well, you know, we decided to dedicate a whole chapter of the book to pubic hair. One, because it turns out biologically, pubic hair is interesting, and it has an incredible history. Because over time, from different medications people took to different diseases people were exposed to, what they did with their pubic hair was impacted. And we just thought it was super fascinating, especially in the context of living today in this highly visual social media world where you're constantly exposed to images of women wearing bathing suits with their bathing suit bottom pulled down a little so it appears that there is no hair at all on their body. And, you know, many celebrities posing naked. And girls are growing up in this world where all of these women that they look up to appear to be completely hairless, but yet their bodies are transitioning into puberty and they are developing hair. And so they are really wondering, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to get rid of it all? And, you know, again, It's all a fashion choice, and we wanted girls to understand you do not have to get rid of it all. Some of you may choose to, but this is your body, and you do what makes you feel comfortable, and whatever that is the right answer.
So, you know, interesting too, and by the way, this chapter is called Beating Around the Bush or the Hair Down There. So once again, the sense of humor comes roaring through just in the names of the chapters. But we get into other hair as well. And us adults long past puberty can certainly learn a lot here. So what is with the hair in the other dark places?
Well, you know, it's not all, you know, in dark places. Obviously, as you go through puberty, you develop armpit hair and your leg hair gets thicker. You know, the other thing is it's around that time when girls start paying attention to their facial hair, right? So if they have a little hair above their lip or their eyebrows, and, you know, there is a lot of pressure as a young woman today to look a certain way. And we wanted to just address it because, you know what, there's so many choices and there's so much expectation, and we wanted to tell them, again, it's their choice.
Much in the book about it's your choice, but just get to know yourself really well first, which is the whole point of the book in the first place. Hello Flow, the guide, period, helloflow.com being the website that brought us here in the first place. Nama Bloom is the creator of the website and the author of the book. We'll talk more with her and swap more stories with you if you'd like to join us as we talk about sex education and perhaps its shortcomings as we were growing up. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about puberty in females and what it's like to go from a girl to a woman in what seems like a lightning amount of time, although it probably feels very long when you're in it. But the fact is that Nama Bloom thinks that there needs to be more information out there about this whole process in life. She started a website called Hello Flow and has now followed that up with a book called Hello Flow, The Guide, period. And yes, the title is completely intentional, as are the chapter titles like Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon and Bustin' Out or Not or Beating Around the Bush, all kinds of great stuff in here. It's really fun, but it's also really direct. And you can join the conversation on the exchange and talk about the education you got about body parts when you were entering puberty or lack thereof. We've heard one example already. Can I get pregnant from sitting on a boy's lap? And the answer was, it depends. Join us on the exchange with your story, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There is a second chapter on here. We started talking a little bit about body hair beyond pubic hair. It's really interesting about pheromones and body hair. Can you explore that a bit for us, Nama?
Yeah, well, there are some scientific theories that part of why we have pubic hair is actually to trap our odor, because it makes us attractive to members of the opposite sex. And there have been some studies where the people who are exposed to different odors prefer the odors of the people who are genetically dissimilar from them. So it's, you know, nature's way of making sure we don't procreate with people who it's not healthy for us to procreate with, right? So your members in your family have similar odors, and so you are not attracted to those. And that's one of the theories of why pubic hair and why there's body hair, is to trap some of those odors so that, you know, potential mates can determine attraction.
But does it work in the positive too, in addition to the repellent part? I mean, do we smell people's stuff coming from their body?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't mention that, but yes, if someone is not similar to you genetically, you are more attracted to their scent. And so, you know, again, it's an interesting thing. You know, we tend to think scent is not good, but the reality is it helps keep us making babies.
The little side details beyond the science, the history itself, too, gets so interesting. There are just so many things in here to take in and digest. Like I was mentioning at home last night, the revelation that you provide in the book about the fact that World War I played a big part in getting men to shave their faces regularly.
Yes, because being able to put on gas masks. So it's interesting, you know, we think about razors today, and, you know, women use them, men use them, but razors were not readily available and were not sold as disposable razors at the drugstore until quite recently in our history, and they did become more popular during a period where men had to wear gas masks because of fear of, you know, chemical weapons. And, you know, then, of course, the consumer packaged goods companies realized, oh, there are other things that we can shave, and let's see if we can, you know, sell more razors by finding things for women to shave. And that's actually how women started shaving their armpits, through an advertisement where you saw a flapper dancing with her arm up, and that was the first instance of a woman without armpit hair.
Oh, okay. So it was about selling razors. That makes sense. You know, we're so responsive to consumer sorts of things. Sure. So we've been talking about the men's faces. Let's bring men a little further into the conversation and give them a chance to get an education here for the people who never had one. What is a period?
Well, a period is actually when your body releases an egg. So what happens in a woman's body is every 28 days to 35 days, one of your ovaries, once you go through puberty, that is, one of your ovaries releases an egg that sits in the uterus, and the uterus lining has swollen with blood, so that if the egg is fertilized, it has a safe place to grow and it has nutrients. But if the egg does not get fertilized, your body sheds that uterine lining, and that's actually what a period is. Just shedding the uterine lining because you have not fertilized an egg inside of your body.
So if there were conception, that lining is a nice pillowy environment for the egg to begin gestating.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose. I mean, really, you know, the purpose of puberty is to be able to make children. I mean, that's the biological purpose.
Mm-hmm. So you do call this chapter Shark Week. Can you set us straight on the fears of sharks and bears for women in menstruation?
Yeah, you know, I think it is just a silly tale that girls have heard, is that, you know, sharks and bears are attracted to blood. So if you have your period, you shouldn't go camping or you shouldn't swim in an ocean. And of course, that's not the case. It's perfectly safe to go camping and swimming in the ocean. But, you know, we had to address it because people believe it. So, you know, we didn't want to skip over these commonly held beliefs that are just, you know, incorrect.
So in the variation of periods from person to person, I mean, how different are they? Why do some women get cramps, some do not? I mean, do we have any way of knowing what accounts for the great variability?
You know, there isn't really, you know, everyone's bodies are different. You know, there are some medical conditions where, like endometriosis, where women have exceptionally painful menstruation. But there is also quite a breadth of experiences in what's considered normal. And there isn't, as far as I know, a real explanation for why that is. Quite honestly, I have no idea. It's just the fact that our bodies are different.
But over the course of an individual's lifespan, I mean, if a period is a certain way at age 17, is it going to be the same at age 37?
You know, not necessarily. I have heard, and this is, of course, more anecdotal, but I have heard that in the earlier years when girls are first menstruating, the periods are more painful. And I recall this from my life as well, is that the cramps used to be so intense when I was a teenager. And now I don't know if I'm just used to it or if they have lessened in severity. But I've heard this a lot anecdotally, but I don't know if there's science behind that.
You know, the book actually starts right into underwear and talking about the crusty things that'll end up there when girls are first getting their periods. And then at this point in the book, in the Shark Week chapter, we talk about it's not just blood. There are some odd and chunky discharges. What are those about?
Yes. Well, first of all, Jeffrey, I have to commend you on your willingness to go there on this conversation. So thank you very much. You know, I'll tell you what, vaginal discharge is a topic that no one talks about, but most girls and women experience, and they are left confounded because no one addresses it. It's not discussed in most puberty books, and it's just not, it's never really discussed, right? Like, everyone knows what a period is, but no one knows about everything that happens in between. And I can tell you from my own personal life, I was always embarrassed by it and nervous that people would know I had this thing. And I had no idea, even though my mother said, oh, yeah, it's just discharge, I had no idea that every single woman had it. I thought there was something specifically wrong and unique with my body. And this is one of those things, again, where, you know, I learned what I needed to know from a book, but unfortunately not until I was in my mid-30s trying to get pregnant and I read a book about fertility did I understand that it's cervical fluid and it serves this purpose to help you understand when you're ovulating and also help sperm travel up to fertilize the egg in your body. It's a conduit. And I had no idea, and it was the most eye-opening experience for me. And I called a few of my friends, and I asked them about it, and they had also read this book. And we all talked about what a liberating moment it was for us to finally understand what this confounding substance was that we'd been hiding from our whole lives.
But in the years before that, I could just imagine this lonely feeling like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. Am I going to die? Do my friends have this too?
Absolutely. I mean, it's this feeling of really not knowing what's going on with your body.
All right. Within the realm of periods, what is the average for length and the amount of, it's interesting you have this number, the amount of pads and tampons used over the course of a period.
Yes. So the average period lasts between 4 and 7 days. And, you know, if you assume that someone's changing their pad every, you know, or their tampon every 4 to 6 hours and their pad that way, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it is in the tens of thousands, if I recall, over the course of a lifetime. So you really go through quite a few products as you're keeping your underpants and pants clean.
So speaking of which, how does a woman decide which product to use? I mean, how much exploration is there for any person at the beginning of menstruation and adaptation later on?
Yeah, well, at the beginning, it's very much, you know, what your mom gives you. And then as people, as kids start talking to their friends who are also menstruating, people start talking about other products. And, you know, most women I know learned how to use a tampon and started using a tampon because a friend told them about it and explained how to use it, not because a parent did. And, you know, I think that this is one of those things. As parents, we tend to give our girls pads and assume they're not ready for tampons, but they're generally ready before we want to understand that they're ready ourselves, and they go and seek it out through someone, you know, through another friend.
We've already mentioned the commercials for women's products that use the blue dye because, you know, we have this clear, rich-looking fluid that comes out of us. But does it annoy you as well that the products tend to make periods look like, you know, lighthearted spring days?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's for sure one of the things that the book tries to dispel. And you'll see a lot of products these days for feminine care products. The sort of newer companies are trying to be more direct because I think that there's general awareness today that all of this sort of sugar coating and, you know, using of blue dye has really done its part to keep the whole idea of what's really going on in our bodies under the rug. And, you know, it's important we talk about it. It's a women's health issue. The only way to stay healthy is to understand what's going on in your body and feel confident advocating for your health. And, you know, I think this is a real, this is an issue that goes well beyond puberty and well beyond periods. It's really about, you know, being healthy.
And well beyond the borders of this country, you do spend a bit of time talking about the rest of the world. And I wonder how limited the options can be for women in countries that don't have things like HelloFlow.
Yes, they can be incredibly limited. And we did want, I assume that most of the girls who are going to be reading this book are going to be reading it in a developed nation. But it was important for me to make sure they understood that they're lucky to be growing up at a time they're growing up in and in a place they're growing up in. Because, you know, we talk about one nonprofit that I've worked with quite a bit called Zana Africa, which is based in East Africa. And they supply pads and underwear to girls in Kenya and across East Africa because a lot of these girls don't have access to these products. And because they don't, they miss school. You know, not every school has, you know, you can't be gone from your house for 12 hours when you have your period without sanitary products and without underwear.
So I want to get a little touch into the back of the book because it goes beyond just the body. I mean, get out of the undies and into the head. How big a part does puberty play in brain development?
You know, it's more, I would say, more the opposite, which is brain development and puberty, right? And it's really about that time period. So there are different periods in our lives where our brains go through growth spurts, and one of them happens during adolescence. And, you know, the brain has, at least for this conversation, two parts that are really critical. It's the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex you can think of as the part of your brain that really helps you make logical decisions, and the limbic system is the one that's really driven by emotions. And what happens during adolescence is that your prefrontal cortex is starting to get faster and sort of get up to speed a little bit quicker. And the reason why peer pressure is such an important conversation to have with kids is actually this this tension between the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex. Because when you're going through puberty, you've already learned, your prefrontal cortex is already telling you don't touch a hot stove. You've learned that lesson. But there are certain lessons where you feel great with your friends, right? Everyone's riding their bicycles. No one wants to have a helmet on. It feels great. It's exciting. And, you know, that's your limbic system saying, I don't need this. It's fun to feel this way. But your prefrontal cortex is the one that would actually say, well, I think my skull is stronger. I need to wear a helmet. And it's that's developing during that period.
All right. There's some great stuff in the book. It is called Hello Flow, The Guide, Period. Nama Bloom is the creator of the original HelloFlow.com and the author of the book. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Take care. That'll do it for today's Exchange. You can find more about the program online at jeffexchange.org. The producers of the program, John Baxter and April Ehrlich of JPR News. Colleen Pike is visiting at the controls today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Please join us next time on The Exchange, and have a great day.